also a privilege to have CJ Grace, who's coming all the way from Hawaii.
Hawaii.
We're really looking forward to talking to her. She's got a couple of stories, judging by our previous chat. And that sounds like her plane coming in now, landing on the runway. And here she is.
Hey, good to see you. Good to meet you in person.
Yes, hi, CJ.
I've just been out for a swim in the Maui Ocean.
And we've just lost CJ there. Yes,
yeah, my CJ.
Yeah,
no, we're
we can't see
together.
It, we can't hear it anymore. I wonder why. This year, Hawaii. So really what made you go to Hawaii?
Well, it was actually my ex-husband's dream, you know, to be... I married an American. He always had this idea he wanted to be in Hawaii. And then he decided to trade me in for a younger model, and he told me to... what was his quote? He said, you need to... find a rich husband and move somewhere cheaper, but he moved to Colorado and I stayed in Hawaii. So
what a shit bag. I think you come off better off. I mean,
I think so, absolutely.
So wow. Where are you from in Britain, CJ?
London, England. Yeah.
You're a very interesting person. You've been a BBC journalist.
BBC journalist, and then I also work for China Radio International as a journalist advisor over there. And now I'm hosting two live shows for the Thriving Women Network, a book show and a debate show. So
could you just tell us, CJ, about when you had your cancer?
Yeah, in 2000, I'm a two-time breast cancer survivor. I had it in 2007 on the left side. I had it in 2014 on the right side. So for the left side, I had radiation only. For the right side, because there was some lymph node involvement, I had radiation and chemo. I also did alternative stuff. I did pretty much everything. And I'm fine now. I took a controversial decision. I turned down mastectomies. I just did lumpectomies both times. They didn't really even mention it the first time around. The second time around, because of Angelina Jolie's story, the surgeons were much more kind of aggressive about pushing that particular route. But it wasn't one that I took. It was, and some people disagreed with me, but I just... At the moment, I'm still here, so...
No one's allowed an opinion, to be honest with you, CJ. That's just between you and whoever you pray to, quite frankly.
Yeah, there's no one-size-fits-all answer to it. You have to go with your gut.
So, do you want to tell us Hairless Halloween? What's that all about?
Yeah, well, I was really unhappy about being hairless. Everybody feels pretty ugly, you know? I mean, I wasn't like... There's this wonderful... People magazine cover with Joan London, who was the host for Good Morning America, and she looks beautiful even without hair. You know, she's gorgeous. I was not gorgeous without hair. But
no, my mum was going through my phone and looking at some old pictures, and she found a picture of me bald. She said, "Who's that old man?" I said, "Mum, that's me." So that's what I look like.
Oh my God. So the thing is that the one day that I agreed to go out without a wig was Halloween, and I was a hairless devil. And a lot of people thought I was wearing a prosthetic bald top or something. But once they heard my story, they got very sympathetic, and I got absolutely tons of candy that was supposed to go to the kids. So you know,
out the way.
They felt sorry for me, and I'm a real chocoholic, so I was quite happy to get all that stuff. And you know, the thing was that it was really cold. I mean, if you're trick or treating I was in Northern California, and it was cold, and it's cold without a wig. Keeps you warm, hair keeps you warm, and so these bald guys, who are bald all the time, they're not vain wearing hats outside because you feel cold. So you know, you think it's vanity that they're always wearing a cap or a hat or something like that. No, it's pretty damn cold when you have a bald head and you're outdoors and it's cold weather. So
my husband's bald, so he does wear a hat, but I'm just thinking maybe next Halloween I should pull him around and, you know, do some trick-or-treating so we can fill up our goodie cupboard a bit.
Well, yeah, you just say, oh, well, he's just been been on chemo and
his hair comes back, you'll soon develop type 2 diabetes.
But still, he'll have to shave his beard off because he can't just
he's got a beard.
But in America, Halloween, I was brought up in Suffolk where all the American bases are. So we had a lot of Americans live in the village where we were. We used to go trick-or-treating. All the British people, you'd get like a really sad little kind of, you know, apple or something. You go to the American houses and you get like bags of treats. And we used to just not even bother going to the English people. We'd go straight to all the American houses and they really celebrate Halloween. It's brilliant.
So I remember doing it when I was a kid and I'm getting turned away. People said, it's begging. You know, when they were like, what do you mean? Trick-or-treat? I'd be like, because it's Halloween and I'm dressed like a witch and it's blah, blah, blah. You know, trying to explain to these people and they were like, so you're begging? And I'd be like, oh, God's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but...
Just let me flounce off with me black bin liner flapping behind me. Because in those days, we didn't have rows and rows of all kinds of gorgeous costumes. It was what you could do with a black bin liner and a piece of black card. And that was it.
But whenever we go trick-or-treating with my kids, they get all their gear on. It's so cold, they have to wear their coats over the top. And their masks, so what I've got is the mask. So I make them strip their coats on, take a picture, and then make it look like they're, you know. But when we actually go trick-or-treating, it's so blooming cold, they have to wear coats over their, you know, of the uniform. So I'm sure in Hawaii, it's much better.
It's much better, but I had my cancer treatment in California, so that's where I went, in Northern California, which can get quite cold in October. So it was an experience, to say the least.
You devastated the next year when you had loads of hair and you couldn't get away with it.
Oh, well, that's right. Well, I didn't go the following year. I just went that year. But, you know, I was playing the cancer card big time for Halloween.
That cancer card, yeah.
What's the point? I've got hair like Aslan the Lion. No one's going to give me any Hershey bars at this rate.
I don't like playing the cancer card, but I played it a couple of years ago when our drain overflowed. And we had, like, raw sewage in the garden. And I was like, I'm a cancer survivor. I need someone to come up. They were out with a shot. So, you know.
I did the same thing, you know, because when I was going through chemo, I think what happened was that the shower got stuck because of all the hair that comes out when you're going through chemo. It blocked out the shower.
Yeah, like the and dead so dog I, in the... Drain,
so I called up the local plumbing company and they weren't going to come for several days. And I said, look, I'm a cancer patient. I'm going through chemo. You've got to come as soon as possible. They came and it was the weekend. They didn't charge me the weekend fee. So it was great, yeah.
I wondered if you could tell us, because I know you were speaking about it before, about some of the rather unhelpful ways some people spoke to you when you found out you had cancer.
Oh, yes, because, you know, when you are a cancer patient, everybody and their mother's uncle has an opinion on what you should do. And some of them go all fire and brimstone, like, if you don't do what they say, you're going to die. And they give you all this advice and stuff you have to do. And if you had maybe 72 hours in a day, you might be able to do all of the stuff that they're suggesting. Yeah.
Everyone's an expert, aren't they?
They're all an expert. And I mean, sometimes it's good advice, sometimes it's usually well-meaning, but often you just have to go with your gut and just ignore all the stuff that comes through. I had people who said, chemo and radiation is toxic and doesn't work, because I was going through chemo and radiation. And then other people, you know, that was the hippy-dippy friends of mine. And then my more straight-laced friend, one guy in particular, I did a lot of alternative therapy along with the chemo and radiation, and he said, alternative therapy is pure quackery, you know. seemed to work for me. And then another person who will remain nameless, he said to me, the reason why you've got cancer is because you're too tense. You need to relax, he shouted. And of course, everybody knows that shouting at somebody is a really good way.
Did you punch him, relax. DJ?
I might have felt like doing that, but I didn't. In fact, I just thought, well, this is going to be fodder for my book. You can't invent that stuff, you know? It was just pretty amazing. Of course, you feel tense and not relaxed when you're going through cancer. I mean, you should never feel bad about feeling bad.
You're tense in life anyway.
You want to have a positive attitude and laugh, and I did a lot of laughter therapy, but, you know, you're not always going to be
laughing. Well, talk about laughter therapy. What do you do when you have laughter therapy?
Well, it was more that I just gave up watching anything depressing. I watch comedies, you know. Somebody invited me to see, I think, a film called Wild, which is about Reese Witherspoon getting over depression by going on the Pacific Crest Trail or something, Pacific Crest Trail. But it's kind of, you know, dark and depressing. So why would I want to watch a movie about somebody who's depressed when I'm going through breast cancer? No, I want comedies. I want stuff that's going to be uplifting and make me laugh, because laughter is actually the best medicine. It's a very, very, as you know, with this podcast, right?
Absolutely.
So you want comedies. You want people who are going to cheer you up. You don't want somebody who's competing with you telling you about, oh, well, I had this illness and it was terrible. And, you know, when I was going through radiation, I was really, this was in 2014. So one particular guy who'd had radiation on his throat for, I think it was throat cancer or tonsil cancer or something like that. He said, oh, it was so terrible. It was the worst time of my life. I'd never want to go through it. But I hope you'll be okay. But if I hadn't already had radiation in 2007 for breast cancer, I would have been shitting bricks, to say the vernacular.
Yeah, why say that to somebody?
Yeah, but it's not true for somebody going through breast cancer, because it's not the same thing as when you have it on your throat. If you have radiation on your throat, that's a more serious, it has more side effects than if you do it on the breast. So, and the other thing, you know, talking about unsolicited advice, because I put a cartoon together in my book. It's the very first one in the introduction to My Wild Ride. All these different types of advice that I got that I'm sure everybody would get in one form or another. So the final thing was the food Nazis who say, well, if you don't give up dairy, your cancer's going to come back or something.
Yes, I've had that one.
And, you know, I'm a Brit. I'm not going to have, I have milk in my tea. I'm not going to have OT or soy milk or some nasty fake concoction. I've got to have real milk in my tea. So, you know, despite all this, you know, I did chemo and radiation. I did tons of alternative therapy. I was not relaxed all the way through, and I had dairy and other things that maybe weren't advisable according to the views of these people. But, you know, it's a crapshoot. I wouldn't want to advise anybody else how to deal with their cancer. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. And there's no one-size-fits-all answer. But all I can say is, you know, to quote Monty Python, I'm not dead yet. So there you go. Whatever I did has worked so far.
Yes. And you're living your best life in Hawaii while we're sitting here freezing to death. With our Ovaltine.
Do you still buy
Ovaltine? I like a bit of Ovaltine. I know, I'm a 70s girl. I can't help myself. Do you want to quickly tell people what the name of your book is, so they can...
It's My Wild Ride, How to Thrive After Breast Cancer and Infidelity. And it's available on Amazon as a paperback and as an e-book.
Check out CJ's website as well. There's a lot of stuff on there that's very useful.
Well, lovely. Well, thank you for joining us, TJ. And hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Yes, I've really enjoyed being on your show.
Okay, thanks ever so much. It's lovely to see you.
So that was CJ Grace, flying back to Hawaii.